With the recent passing of Senator John McCain from Arizona, I think it's an interesting opportunity for us to look at a case that actually overturned one of his proudest achievements, which was his campaign finance reform.
Yeah, it was the McCain-Feingold Act, and it came about in 2002. And the purpose of that was to limit just how much corporate America was able to finance campaigns and have such a loud microphone and how that distorts the political process.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, at the time, it was fairly lauded on both sides of the aisle, right?
Yeah, and one of the things that McCain did really well is he reached across the aisle. And in fact, the name of it, of the bill, was actually the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act. Now, it came later to be known as McCain-Feingold because those are the two senators who worked on it. But yeah, that was overturned in 2010 in a 5-4 Supreme Court decision. So it could maybe go the other way around.
So this was a very important decision, and also with a 5-4 margin, a very close one. Tell the uninitiated about Citizens United.
Well, let's talk about the word Citizens United. That's amazing by itself. And this is something I think everyone should be suspect when you hear the name of a group that's called like Make America Prosper or Citizens United, because it sounds like such a wonderful thing. You know, we're citizens and we're united and we want our First Amendment rights. And who Citizens United really was a political action group that had a film called Hillary. And it was about Hillary Clinton, and it was something they wanted to air just before the last election, and it infused a lot of money into it. So much money that it exceeded what the Federal Election Committee permitted to be spent according to the McCain-Feingold Act. And so they sued the Federal Election Committee saying, you are abridging our First Amendment rights by limiting how much money we can spend.
And they won.
And they won in a 5-4 decision. Now, here's the thing. If you go all the way back to 1976 and another Supreme Court decision, Buckley v. Valeo, they said that money is speech. So you can express yourself by how and where and when you spend your money. And so if you limit how much money someone can spend on a political campaign, then you're infringing upon their First Amendment rights. And that was the position that Citizens United took at the Supreme Court.
That seems, first of all, like a very clever route to take to victory, and secondly, it's surprising that they won to me, just on the face of it.
That's why almost everything is becoming a First Amendment issue. If you're dealing with a federal agency like, you know, FEC, FCC, any one of those agencies, you have to go through all the agency procedure on appeal, unless there's a fundamental right involved. And if there's a fundamental right involved, you can go straight to court. So if you can make a First Amendment issue out of it, you can go to court and bypass all the administrative procedure. And that's what Citizens United did.
So does the Citizens United victory set a precedent that might be dangerous?
Well, here's what's happening. There's a new term that's come out, dark money. And it's money that's not traced. And so if you put together a group, and you name it something pretty like Citizens United or Free Speech Coalition or something like that, then in reality it disguises the fact that it's huge corporate interest. It looks like a grassroots movement for some noble cause. I've heard it called a synthetic grassroots movement. Lately, it's been called astroturfing. So here's something that appears to come from the grassroots, from people, and it's the name of a nonprofit group that is funded entirely by corporate interest that puts a lot of money into influencing the outcome of an election, or, as we're seeing right now, the nomination of someone for the Supreme Court. And this is the first time I've ever seen this happen.
There's a movement right now underway to help get the next Supreme Court justice named.
The NRA. And the NRA is not even forming a group. They're not making some citizens group. They're actually doing it in their own name. They have a 7-figure campaign right now going on in several districts across the country telling people to tell your senator to confirm Kavanaugh because he will protect your Second Amendment rights. So right now, the court is pretty evenly split among Second Amendment issues, 4-4. So this next justice can make a big difference there, and that's the argument that they're making.
From a legal perspective, how comfortable are you with this movement?
I agree with Justice Scalia, who passed away. And this really, I think, gets to the heart of the issue. When you look at something like the First Amendment, where did you get it? What's the source of the First Amendment? Was this something that was given to you by the government when they made the Constitution and amended it? If they did, then that means it's something they can take away. Rather, the other viewpoint, which is called original intent, is what did this mean to the people who drafted the Constitution? And their thinking, by and large, was these are rights that we have because we're human beings. So in our Declaration of Independence, these were the unalienable rights bestowed upon us by our Creator. And so if you look at it from that perspective, then the First Amendment is something that it's an acknowledgement of rights that we already possess as natural persons. Now, Judge Scalia, in his dissent in Citizens United, said, wait a minute, the Supreme Court doesn't have the authority to vest artificial citizens, corporations, artificial entities, with the same rights as a natural person. And so that was the dissent in that 5-4 decision, and it created a really strange thing because there was another law that prohibits how much individuals can give to campaigns. So that wasn't overturned until 2014. So for 4 years, we had a situation where corporations were allowed to give more money to political campaigns than what individual natural persons could do themselves.
Does this make one particular party happier than the other, or does it ruffle feathers on both sides of the aisle?
I think it ruffles feathers all the way around. And when it first came out, I really think that my conservative friends were jumping up and down going, yeah, 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 yeah. And I was going, wait a minute now. You understand the distinction between corporations and natural persons. You know, let's not forget that. No, oh, yeah. But it depends on what the issue is. I mean, people can use it one way or another to fit their purposes. I think the problem for all of us is that it distorts the political process in that money goes into it. We don't know from where the money comes, and it's used in groups that disguise who they really are by astroturfing and financing things that change public policy.
So where do we go from here?
Well, you know, when I look at someone being nominated to the Supreme Court, I don't worry so much about do they have an R or a D behind their name. I look at it, are they someone who looks at the Constitution as a living document that means whatever we need it to mean to meet the needs of the day, or what is the original intent? And the original intent was to protect the rights of natural persons. And so, personally, that's where I'm coming from. And I don't know where Kavanaugh is on that. But for other reasons, the NRA certainly wants to see him get confirmed. I think that the ambition that McCain had, that people drive the political process more than corporations, that bipartisan effort that he made is still a noble aspiration that we may still yet realize. And whenever you see a Supreme Court decision that's 5-4, that's one that could be overturned with new membership in the court. And I hear people talk about Citizens United all the time, and it's something that's dropped into conversation, and it's still a very, very big deal. It has snowballed into what we're seeing today. I'm not sure that many people really appreciate what impact that has had on our political process and continues to have, and that maybe that's something that we should consider is whether we should overturn that decision and return politics more to something that truly is natural grassroots.